What's up, y'all? Welcome to another great episode of the Let's Rap Podcast. I am your co-host, Philosophical.
And I'm your co-host, Jay Echo. What's good?
What's going on, y'all? What's going on, y'all? We hope you guys love the new setup. This is kind of new for us. Definitely let us know what you guys think. As you can see, we got a guest on. Very, very great person. You know, we were on her show a couple of days ago. Very great show. Love what she represents.
Streamer podcast.
Yeah, very great discussion. Also, make sure you guys follow her and what she's got going on. I will mention that in a second. Make sure you guys follow us as the Let's Rap Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and also YouTube. Like, share, subscribe if you're enjoying the content here on YouTube. So we want to introduce Miss Camille Essick of the Speak Her Podcast. And also, she has got a great, great channel, The Good Black Men Official on IG and Facebook, and also her fragrance line of Chemistry Room Fragrances. Welcome. Thank you, Camille, for taking the time with us.
Hey, gentlemen. What's going on, everybody? Thank you for inviting me here. I'm looking forward to this conversation. How are you all doing?
Good.
So we're gonna get right into it. So, Camille, tell us a little bit about your journey, who you are, and let the people know.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So my name is Camille Essick. I am originally from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a PK, a preacher's kid, a church girl. Did all the things, taught vacation Bible school, choir, you know, all that. Still now transitioning to another church home in Atlanta, but I'm originally from Nashville, PK. Went to college, joined a sorority. Shout out to my sororas of Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. Hey, y'all. what else? Did the corporate thing for a little while, joined the military. Got deployed. I was in the Navy 8 years, did 4 carriers. The first 4 years I was on the aviation side. The next 4 years I put in a package and I became a paralegal for JAG, and I worked for the prosecuting attorney in California. And in that office, worked side by side pretty much every day with NCIS prosecuting, putting people out of the military that don't belong there, doing heinous things. It was a lot of fun, learned a lot, saw some cool things, met some really cool people. And then God was like, girl, it's time to go. So came to Charlotte, got my master's in communication in August of 2021. Joined the military, started a podcast. Initially, before that, I had my own lash brand, Kamiki Meek Lashes. I did makeup and lashes for 2 years at the Stellar Awards. For those that are familiar, it's kind of like the gospel version of the Grammys. So I was behind the scene beating faces and doing brows and lashes. A lot of fun. Saw some cool things with some cool people. And then, like, God just shifted my life and was like, start a podcast. And I was like, what? Because I'm naturally an introvert. I like being behind the scenes, but he really pushed me out into this space. I didn't know anything about digital media. I didn't know anything about graphic design, publishing, none of that. And so I was like, okay, God, if this is what you want me to do, I need you to open up my creativity and my intelligence to understand what I'm seeing, what I'm doing. And he's been doing that. And in the meantime, I have written 4 eBooks. I'm also an author. Number 5 has been sitting. I need to finish that, but it's there. Started Good Black Men. And the reason why I did that is kind of like my love letter to Black men, because I think in our culture over the last few years, there's been so much going on with George Floyd and other narratives. And I'm like, no, you know, there's some good brothers out here. And it started out just as a post and people started liking it. And somebody was like, hey, you need to put that on a shirt. And so lo and behold, I created it into a brand. We have t-shirts, sweatshirts, journals, tumblers, coffee mugs, and it's for the brothers. So it's like my love letter to the brothers. I love aromatherapy. I love things that smell good all the time, because I'm also an advocate for mental health. So I started Chemistry Room Fragrances, blend everything myself. It's been a ride. It's been a journey. So here I am. So hopefully I didn't sound like I was rambling, but that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
No.
Authority and, you know, hey.
That's really good to hear. And we will definitely put those eBooks down in the description if you guys are ever interested in checking those eBooks out. And also check out her her page, Good Black Men Official. Very, very good page. So when I saw that page, I was it was very visually, and it just reminded me of a lot of different initiative that is not really publicized. So we're gonna get right into it here. A couple of days ago, we spoke a lot on performance exhaustion from the men's side, and kind of speaking on how there's a lot of pressure and a lot of exhaustion with men having to carry a lot of load in the household, career-wise, mentally-wise, emotionally-wise, physically-wise. So let's kind of speak on that from a woman's perspective, to kind of help our men out there kind of have a better understanding and being in tune with, hey, you know, this is not, you know, you're not the only one feeling this way. So let's speak on how does what does performance exhaustion mean from a woman's perspective, you know, your side of that?
I think it goes back a little bit just because of culturally what's been happening within our community. As far as families, when we look at, let's kind of go back a little bit because I'm a little bit of a nerd. So when you look around about 1970 and you look at what's happening within the high school structure, because up until then, you have programs for brothers like plumbing, electricity, you know, things like that, things they could do with their hands. So even if you decided to not go to college, you could still go and get a job. But by that time, they began to remove these programs out of the schools, the high schools.
Yeah.
And also for on the woman's side, as far as removing cosmetology. So again, if you didn't go to college and you're like, hey, the military is not for me, at least you could have what we call more of those service or blue collar fields to get certification and still provide for your family. And to this day, most people that we know in HVAC and in the automotive industry, like engine repair, they financially they're doing pretty good, even more so than some people that did go to college.
And well, not recently for the automotive.
I'm speaking from my overall. And so now, you look at what we call the cocaine 80s and mass incarceration of the 90s.
Yep.
And so it really broke down the structure of the family unit. So now you have a larger number of Black men going to jail. You have more and more single parent families. And so women are like, I still need to provide, you know, maybe I'm not in a not so great neighborhood. I need to make more money. So let me go to college or let me start a business. Right. And so that's where we begin to see this financial gap, you know, because now you hear Black women, the most high earning demographic in the country. But it's like, where did that start? Where did that begin? And so when you go back and you look at this, it's like, oh, this is where this is coming from. And so over time, we've had to take on more. You know, I mean, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, but I know many women that are, you know, 2 and 3 degrees, you're raising your kids, you're starting your own business, running your household, doing all this stuff without the male counterpart. So now we've taken on, and I hate this terminology, a more masculine role, but it's like, for some of us, we really didn't want that, but it was kind of thrust upon us in order to survive, right? Okay. And so over time, there's, and some of my female friends, we've talked about, like, girl, I'm tired. Because even me being single, and, you know, I told you all what I do, you know, outside of my 9-to-5, I work at a law firm. It's tiring because I'm having to be my own business coach. I'm my own, you know, mental, emotional cheerleader. I do my own hair. So I'm my own beautician. I do my own brows and lashes. I'm my own chef. I'm my own. It's like you're like the Tyler Perry of your life, and it gets old. And it's like when even some of my female friends that are, some are married, some are divorced. And one of my friends was saying at the time when she was married, and she's doing very well, but at the time when she was married, she had she still has her own print shop. And she caught on video, her then husband went into her print shop and sabotaged one of her printing machines. And then she's like, you know, babe, my machine's not working. And he's just like, oh, I don't know what happened. And she said, women's intuition, went back and watched the video. This joker went behind and did something to her copier in her shop. And it was because he really felt intimidated. He didn't like the fact that she had other streams of income. And when they first met, he was cool with her doing all this stuff, but it really made him feel insignificant. Now they're not married, but it's like when we meet guys, they're not looking. It's like, regardless of what you see, there's a person in here. But yet, why is there this underlying sense of competition? Like, I gotta level up and make more than her, because you're dealing with a male ego. And so when you meet other men, you become tired, because it's like you're having to have a defense, because you're like, is he here to get over, get up? Why are you? Who are you? Who sent you? And then most Black women have gone through a lot of stuff from childhood. But most, I think they said, 1 out of 3 Black women by the time they're 18 has been molested or sexually assaulted by 18. And out of those numbers, it increases to 2 times by the time you're 30. So now you're looking at what, 60 to 70% of all Black women have been molested or sexually assaulted by the age of 30.
Okay.
So there's so many factors that ties in when we unpack what the performance exhaustion look like, on top of dealing with colorism, racism, and sexism. And then let's throw in within the community, when you're pitting, I'm from Tennessee, so you're dealing with light skin, dark skin, hair, all these different layers. Okay. And it's like, I'm tired. And then you're like, oh, well, she's mean, or, you know, we get these labels, she's the angry Black woman. But it's like, do you really step back and look at what we've had to go through in life just to be in a room? Just to be in a space, and then to have social media with narratives of disrespect all the time. And it's like, we fight for everybody, and we continue to wait for someone to fight for us. And so we get to a point where it's like, you know what, let me just make my money, go home and watch Netflix. Because like Temple Man said, truth is, I'm tired. And you want that type of man in your life to really have your back, but it's like you have to fight through all these different narratives every day. And at a point, Superwoman just gets super tired.
So let me ask this, and I'm glad you brought that up. When that performance exhaustion you speak of, right? And then like women that kind of go into the dating scene, right? And we've always spoken on the show as far as the men are supposed to choose the man. I mean, the men are supposed to choose the woman. So when that happens, right? And women that are high value women have a lot going on. They're taking on a lot. So kind of speak on, you know, is the expectations for dating as being a high value woman, do you feel like that emasculates men? Does that make them feel inadequate? Kind of speak on that a little bit, because I do feel like there are men out there who engage with high value women, they feel intimidated. And I feel like that needs to be spoken on a little bit. Maybe a lot of high value women that have certain expectations, they built something, they took on somewhat of a masculine role. So, and then men that feel like they're not as strong or have their self put together as that woman as he should be. So let's kind of talk about that, because I feel like that needs to be spoken on a little bit. So speak on that a little bit. What's your thoughts on that?
Okay. Just for the record, I'm really not a fan of the term high value.
Okay.
At that, as far as you can be a high earner and in character and your integrity be deficient and bankrupt. And so when I look at a person, you're making a lot of money,
okay,
but you can still cheat. You can still be an abuser.
Okay.
You can still steal, cheat, rob. You can be a child molester, whatever. So when we use that label, high value,
okay,
you're a high earner, but your value, your character, to me, that's what equates to your value.
Okay. So, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's just how I look at it. So if we're going to get earning high earners,
okay,
I feel that.
So not to cut you off. So you call women that are making a lot of money but also have a high value of character. What's your you feel those are called
high? Not even men and women, just people.
People in general. Okay.
They're high value, and it's like, no, you're a high earner.
Okay.
But your character and your integrity is deficient.
I definitely agree with that. That's a good point.
We have the terminology F boys and whatever.
Yep.
You know, and it's just like, for example, my grandfather, he was a millionaire. Him and my grandmother built a facility in West Tennessee that was a 100-bed facility for those that have cerebral palsy, Turner syndrome, Down syndrome. These people were abused. My grandparents built this. They sold it later to the state of Tennessee. And yeah, even though they were high earners, their character, because of their heart for people, for community, for philanthropy, service to serve. So even though they were who they were in the 70s and 80s, they were still very down to earth people. So fast forward now to 2023, when we're throwing around this word high earner, you know, high value, but look at character, you know, because I have encountered men, you know, that have attempted to talk to me and they leave with a wallet. For me, that's a red flag, because I think a man should, this is just me, men are to present, not persuade. And one of the things I've learned in dating, when men say, oh, I'm a good dude, you just got to get to know me, usually they're not. Because if you're a good man, you just are. And it's up to me to see it, right?
See his actions, correct?
Actions.
Okay.
Just like women, you present, not pursue, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have to go on. I'm not a good looking of a woman. I think I'm half decent. I don't have to go on Instagram and take photos of looking back and dressing a certain way, because I know my value. I know my worth. And if you're going to see me, you're going to see me. If you're meant to see me, you're going to see me. So when we're looking at dollars and your status and your resume and where you've gone to school, I've dated that, but the character was trash. And I always use the analogy of, like, we're like packages, right? Okay. Very pretty, glittery bows, whatever. But let's take that off. Let's pull out that tissue paper. Let's get into the bubble wrap and see what's in the box. Because you can be packaged very well, but empty. It's like a Cracker Jack box. You get it to the bottom, there's a whistle, and that don't even work. So it's like we have to get into the thick of what's really going on. Like, who are you? What's your core? Because, for example, I'm going to put it out there. I'm 44 years old, right? So my mindset, as far as when a man is approaching me, I'm looking at his heart, his mind, where he is with God, his character, because why? This is the person who's going to raise our children. You can have all of the things, but it's the mindset that raises the child, right? I could be, you know, I could run out here and go get a BBL, whatever, whatever. But if my mind is jacked up, I'm the mind that's going to raise your child as your wife. So we have to pull back, because if the money goes away, and if you're that type of man, you can make that again. But how did you get the money? I don't smell an orange. Are you lying on your taxes? Are you out here scamming? Like, sir, let's have a conversation, what's going on. So if you just want to come up and measure me on a paycheck, and really, you're making six figures, you ain't making that much money, because you still got to go to work on Monday. Because real people that make money, their money works for them. And I know, because my grandparents did that. They got to a point where they stepped away in the business, they sold it, and they had their own life. People that really have money, like where I work in my law firm, we have $1 billion accounts. And I've seen how the other side works when it comes to money. People that have money for real don't discuss their money. If anything, they try not to give you indication that they have it. They drive a Prius. They'll wear the same two or three khakis every week. We're the ones out here flexing with Gucci bags and belts. And, you know, and so it's like, let's push the money and the high value to the side and look at the person for who they are, because that's the person that's going to raise you. That's the person, if you get sick, you're married, Phil, if you have a trip today, who's going to be there? Your wife?
That's true. That's true.
Not your followers, not the TikToker, like your wife. So we have to kind of shift, at least for me, we have to kind of alter. Yes, I know there's socioeconomic structure, but at the end of the day, this person, because you can make all this money. Sir, do you have anger issues? If you get upset and your bill falls through, you're going to come home and put a hole in the wall or in my head? I need to know what's here. If you're having a bad day, are you going to get in the bed, close the blinds, and you don't shower for 4 days? So let's strip that down and look at the person.
Yep. So, sound like you had some comments, Jay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did. Thank you for making that comment about the high value versus high character, because I think that is something that we often ignore. It's like, oh, I'm a high value man or I'm a high value woman, but like you said, the content of their character is, for lack of a better term, trash. So mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you know, the so you spoke on performance exhaustion and what it looks like from like where it comes from for women, especially women who are business owners, women who are, you know, family members and everything like that. But how do you think that shows up? How do you think that shows up negatively in or how do you think that presents itself when they have entered a relationship? When it's like, all right, yes, I have a man, I have a partner, and I've hit that point of performance exhaustion. What does it look like? Because when we were speaking about it on your show, we talked about like, oh, I'm not necessarily going to be as emotional, from a man's perspective, I'm not necessarily going to be as emotionally available as I would normally be. Or, you know, there's my temper is shorter, or, you know, like, because I was reading that oftentimes in men, depression presents itself in different ways than it would for women.
That's a good question.
What do you think it looks like when you're down in the day to day of a relationship for a woman?
Before you answer that, I want to kind of add some context, because I think that's a very good question. I think I would like to know that answer too, because I feel like there's such a, when we say performance exhaustion, I think there are times when what if two people are feeling it at the same time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How can, and I know this is probably something a lot of our audience would know. How do you deal, and we're going to deal with stress management. How do you deal with performance exhaustion that can bring stress, that can bring depression? Well, what if both people are dealing with it? How do we handle that? Can you kind of speak on that from a woman's perspective?
Yeah,
you know, how do you, yeah. So go ahead.
I think on Jay's end, as far as how it looks for women, and this is not a blanket answer, because as women, we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
There are some women that can go inward. They get very quiet.
That's a good point.
It may show up as sleeping a lot. It may be changes in how she's eating. Maybe she's not eating at all, or eating on the opposite end, eating too much. You know, there's always two ends of that spectrum. She's, you know, not eating, or she's eating too much.
Okay.
Or she may dig more into her work. If she feels like she hasn't accomplished enough in life, and she's putting that pressure because she sees her peers accomplishing, she may feel like, well, you know, what's wrong with me? But maybe I'm not educated enough. And so then she'll go and get another degree. So it may, like, men could show up as overachievement. Like, girl, you got 9 degrees. What's going on? You know?
Okay.
Then on the other end, for some women, they may show up irritable, short-tempered, sarcasm. And then physically, you know, she may have some, I've seen some women develop alopecia, you know, like, girl, you lost your edges, but that's alopecia because of stress, you know. For some women in certain communities, it may show up as substance abuse, alcohol abuse. It may show up as physical abuse with their partner, or even in their children. Or it may show up as excessive outlet behaviors, like a lot of Amazon shopping. You know, and you think like, oh, girl, how many more shoes do you need? It can show up and manifest in so many things. But if you really, as a man, and you take the time to really observe and study your wife or your girlfriend, and you know she's pretty much consistent, and then she comes in one day and she cuts all her hair off and is blonde, because some women do that, you know. And I know we all change our hair. I do it. But if it's something extreme, like my natural hair is very long, but there have been seasons in my life where I was like, I'm gonna do the big chop. But if she's leaving from work and coming home and her hair is here, and then you come home from work and it's shaved like Jada Pickett, then you're like, hey, what's are you okay? Like, do we need to talk? So it's really observe, and it's really getting to know. And I know men sometimes can miss cues and nonverbal cues, but if you really love her and that is your heart, your everything, you're gonna notice, you know, if you're really in tune, the signs are there. If you notice, if she's cooking and normally she's playing music and you're like, hey, you know, how are you doing? I'm okay, I'm fine. And you just go, okay, boo, and you walk off. But normally she'll tell you like, well, you know, Jay, today was just, you know, and Brenda in my office. But today she's like, it was okay. And she's giving short answers that may be a sign. So it just depends on the person that you're with and your willingness to observe. Because if you're going through it, then you may miss those flags too. Okay. But hopefully that will shed some light on that. Feel as far as your question, I kind of forgot your question.
Oh, wow. No worries.
I remember now. So,
okay.
And again, this is just one example. If you're both going through, maybe schedule a time during the week, you know, saying, hey, we're not going to go out with people. Let's just sit down and talk. Have a check-in day every day. And say, you know, maybe if your check-in day is Wednesday or if it's Friday, you know, if you have date night, have a check-in night, you know, say, you know, I know this, you know, you've been kind of short, you don't touch me the way you used to, or like what's really going on, and kind of, and create that safe space that, what I call being the vault for each other, because as we said, during my show a few days ago, you don't want to weaponize those things, you know, in heated moments, but at the same time can take those things. I was like, I know, you know, you shared with me before about X, Y, Z. Well, I noticed like on Monday, you know, this happened and it made me feel like this. And she could be like, well, no, babe, that's not what I meant. It was just, you know, lately I've been going through. And so just opening that space to communicate safely, I think that helps. And if you're at a point where that's not happening, then maybe couples therapy or going to your pastor or someone that's very, what I call Switzerland, very neutral, that you kind of open up and discuss and create that dialogue. But I think just even before it gets to that point in dating and courting, establishing that friendship to say, hey, it's safe here. We can talk about whatever. Two, I'm a big believer of keeping your friends and your family out of your business, you know, because that can cause a lot of issues too, where, girl, oh, Jay, get on my nerves today. Like, no, because you guys can make up and now she's instigating some stuff because now it's triggering her for something she went through. And now she's projecting her trigger into your relationship. So, which is another conversation, by the way. Yeah. But I think just creating that space to say, hey, I love you, but you're also my best friend. And whatever it is, even if it's hard, even if it's ugly, let's talk about it. And if we get to a point in the conversation and you're like, hey, like in the Navy, we say training time out. I need a moment. Let's go to our corners and kind of decompress before we blow up. Let's roll it around. Let's think about it. But then let's come back to the table and talk about it. Cause I really want to do life with you. And not only do I love you, but I really like you as a person. I think you're dope. And I think creating these spaces, I think, helps. But I think also it's allowing the men to be able to vent and be vocal, like we talked about before. And you don't challenge his manhood, his orientation if you see tears. Because he really wants that. But, you know, again, I'm like, girl, I can't believe he was crying. And we were talking, he was just crying. Like, don't do that. Because he, you know, you're just like, I'm a person inside as a man in here. There's a person. And so I can't open up and pour out to you and we're married or whatever. Who can I run to? Like, what?
And that's very important. That's very important. I've been seeing a lot of posts and a lot of commenting on, you know, people have been married 20, 30 years, and one of the most important things is what they're saying is kind of keeping your marriage and your relationship private, even away from friends and family, because it can sometimes be a negative conversation as far as they're not with that person every day. They're not living with them. And sometimes what you're telling that person can be a trigger for them. Mm-hmm. So they can give you kind of a negative response. That's I like that point. I like that point.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I actually, I mean, going back a little bit to what you said about like not only the performance exhaustion, but how it presents itself, it sounds to me like, and it looks different, like we lead different lives and everything like that, but it sounds like men and women are trying to process some of the same things. But for whatever reason, there's a disconnect between like, I'm going through something over here. Well, I'm going through something over here. Well, you just do your thing over there and I'm gonna do my thing over there. Like, there's no...
It's trauma.
How do you think we bridge that gap? Because at the end of the day, it does seem like, whether we want to admit it or not to each other, it does seem like we are looking for that person to connect with, but for whatever reason, behaviorally, we repel each other for whatever reason.
Trauma. It's trauma based, because as a Black, I'm not a man. I don't want to be a man. I love all of this, but from a societal standpoint, there's traumas that Black men deal with every day. They don't talk about that go through as little boys growing up, you know. And then some of the things I address, Black women growing up as little girls. So you have two traumatized people trying to come together because of things you've dealt with systemically within your own culture, within your own family. But you have to do the work before you come together. And after you come together, you have to do that work together. But it's like, we all have a bag, but who are you willing to unpack with, you know? And then once you get there, like you said before, we have to be vulnerable. Who's going to go first? But we all have our stuff. And it's just like, everybody's holding on, you know? But you have to get to a place where you're willing to be vulnerable and willing to open up. But before you bring someone into your picture, you've got to do some personal work as well. Unpacking, well, why do I have trust issues? Why do I, as a man, why do I go as hard as I do? Is it to compensate for some sense of insecurity? So it it's like a coping mechanism. So now it manifests as overly ambitious. You know, like, you have to really ask yourself those internal questions. Do I have imposter syndrome? Do I have survivor's remorse because all my boys that I grew up with are dead or in jail and I made it out, you know? Or is it because I'm really mad at my father or my mother, whoever raised me, because there was something missing there? So I tell myself, that's never going to happen to me again. So now you're projecting an expectation on someone that's not even aware of your expectation, because y'all never talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can I know you have this expectation, something you create in your head, and then when you unpack it, it's something you created just to protect your mind because that little 5-year-old boy doesn't want to be hurt anymore. So it's like, again, doing the work, asking yourself the questions and going why. Like, for example, this week, I journal a lot and I always keep something around me, and I was sitting at work and I could hear God talking to me, and just as clear as day, he's like, You blocked some people away. You put a barricade between you and some people because you're afraid they're gonna hurt you like the previous person. And then he said, you have to stop doing that because now I put you in a new season and a new chapter of life, and you're not there anymore. You can be physically present in this space, but your mind and spirit is still back in 2022. Or 2023, yeah. Or 2017. And so now he has to catch all of you up because we're mind, body, and soul, right? So he has to catch all of us up to this point because why? We're now in a season of collaboration. We're now in a season of community. You're now in a season of healing. But you have to be in a place where all parts of you are fully receptive. You can be receptive physically with being a high earner or whatever, But then spiritually, emotionally, you can reject your life partner because God is trying to bring them to your life. Because why? You're warden in prison to your own self. Mm-hmm.
So in other and I guess to kind of clarify, you feel like I can kind of relate to that. I do feel like sometimes our thoughts and our emotions mentally kind of imprison ourselves. And sometimes we can make certain assumptions based off of our own trauma and what we've dealt with. Is that kind of where you're leaning towards?
It can. But the thing is, once you recognize it, then you say, okay, what am I doing to change that? What do I need to do to change? Is it therapy? Is it forgiving somebody? Closure. And sometimes the closure is realizing that person can't apologize, or they don't have the capacity to apologize.
And that may be the moments where you have to say, hey, I'm going to move on and forgive them and let it go at that point. And I feel like that's where we as people sometimes we hold on to that and we carry it into our potential lifelong partner, and we struggle on how to let that baggage go. So that's a very good point.
And you know why, guys? It's because sometimes we allow the offense to become our identity because we built an identity off what they did to us.
Yep.
And now it's familiar and it's comfortable.
And it becomes defense. Yeah.
And it's become our fuel.
Yep.
But the thing is, I don't know if you guys saw Kurt Franklin's documentary when it came out last week. And, you know, it's a quote that went viral. He was like, I spent so much of my time being broken. I don't know who am I even healed? Like, you know, you as broken you, but who are healed you?
Are you speaking about the one where he talks about his father? Father's Day.
It just was like, whoa, because a lot of us, we have spent our entire lives building these voices, these narratives, these identities based on, well, I did this because, you know, X, Y, Z. But it's like, no, why not build it because this is where you are now? And so we have to learn how to gravitate from, what's the quote? Our past does not dictate our future. It's only a point of reference.
Yep.
It's like a step. But now that you're here, we have to unravel these things because Jay and Phil, even to me, we have so much other things, you know, waiting for us, so many other promises. And there's so many other amazing people that God wants to bring into our lives. But how can we do that if we're still holding on to our stuff, you know?
So let's speak on, I'm glad you brought that up. That kind of segmented into our next topic here. Kind of talk about stress management, right? Because I think stress management is kind of it defines our character a little bit. How would you define stress in relation to character? Does it define our character? Should it be something that also can determine our decisions, our actions? So kind of speak on that from a woman's perspective as far as like stress, right? How do you deal with it? How do you kind of speak to our women on communication? And just opening that lines of communication and how can our men do a better job at that?
I think I worked that question backwards. I think as far as how men can manage it, a lot of times we just want you to listen, you know? Okay. And sometimes I know we hear that, man, you hear a problem and you want to fix it, you know, because you're naturally your fixers. And we appreciate that, but sometimes people just listen to us, you know? And in that, if there's something that you say that, well, let me try what he said, maybe that'll work. But sometimes we just want to just get it out, you know? Listening is very important, and if there's something that we do want you to fix, we'll tell you. We'll let you know.
Okay.
You know, because and speaking for me, because I'm the type of person that I'll say, "Hey, I've tried this and that, but this isn't working for me. What are your thoughts?" Okay. You know, and that's just me. I can't speak for every woman. We're not all the same. But I'm saying for Camille, you know, if there's something I want you to fix, I'll tell you. But a lot of times I want you to just listen. Stress management for women, diet, right? We're busy, we're on the go. running out, grabbing Starbucks. I'm a coffee person. I question your salvation if you're drinking Dunkin', but whatever.
I've never heard that before.
You know, but, you know, like today I went to the store and I bought some bananas. I bought some apples. I bought some limes. I drink alkaline water and I put those things in my water because it adds more minerals, you know, as you're drinking your water. So just drinking water, okay, but you get more out of your water. Add some fruits, sis. Add a lemon, a lime, add a grapefruit. Just little things you can do. For me personally, I set boundaries. That's another way to manage your stress. We all have friends that have a lot going on, but I have a timer on my iPhone. Again, I question your salvation because over here we Apple style it. I got the iPhone. I don't do Android. And
this respect is so real for us.
Oh, it's Android real. You. It's real. It's real.
So I don't see.
So it's just like, you know, I have the do not disturb kicks in at 8:30 because if you're on your phone all night, it takes you longer to go to sleep. But for me, I love LED lights and aromatherapy. So I shift the energy and the vibe, the mood, whatever you want to call it, of my place. Because now it's time to unwind. I've been going all day. My mind is tired. So prepare your mind for bed, saying, okay, let's turn these bright lights down. Let's turn on some soft LED light. Let's do some aromatherapy. Maybe if you've been watching YouTube all day, there's tons of, I love neo soul and jazz. There's tons of neo soul jazz, lo-fi channels. Mm-hmm. Put that on. Let that kind of go through. Take your hot bath, your shower, get a steamer, you know, Timu, whatever. Get something and do a light self-care 15 minutes. Or me in the morning, I turn on the audio Bible, some scripture or devotion. You know, have that going and just kind of shift your mindset. Do some journaling. You know, but just cut out the noise because your friends, talking to the ladies, girl, your friends, Keisha or whatever her name is, she's going to have those problems in the morning. But you pour out all day. How can we pour from an empty cup? So take time out of the day to pour back into you. Pandemic, we're all inside. We all picked up a little weight. Lord knows I have. Get outside. Go take a walk. You know, if you don't have a membership, if you live in an apartment, I'm pretty sure they have a clubhouse. There's a gym. Get on the treadmill for 15, 20 minutes. Walk around your facility. If you work in a big enough a corporate space, bring some tennis shoes to work on your break. Walk around 15 minutes. You know, do that twice a day. That's 30 minutes of walking you've knocked out. Like the building I work in, you do, I think it's 10 laps is 1 mile. So break that up. Do 5 laps. Walk 5 times, then walk 5 again. You know, there's so many things you can implement as far as managing stress. Stress eating. Some women stress eat. If you're going to stress eat, don't get the chips. Get an apple. Get carrots. Get broccoli. Again, lifestyle choices. A lot of stuff you watch on TV. You watch, I don't subscribe to it because that's just me. But you watch a lot of Love and Hip Hop and they fighting and throwing glasses and Real Housewives, when first of all, none of them are married, so why are you on the show anyway? But, you know, in Crew Atlanta, whatever, so you watching all this arguing all day. Then you're on social media, scrolling on TikTok. Well, see, you know, because black women, and you're observing all this mess every day, red pill, blue pill conversation. And you have to guard your ear gate, your eye gate, what's coming out. If you have a homegirl and she's always venting and complaining, No shade to anybody named Keisha. This is just the names coming to mind. Keisha, girl.
Yeah.
I can't. Let me call you back on Friday. I have some things going on. And then it goes back to barriers, you know, because if it's a lot of negative conversation, a lot of complaining, and they're not doing anything about it, you still with them, kind of shift your proximity from that. Family drama. You know your uncle and auntie, whatever, they're not married, but they go home like they do and they sleep in the other bedroom. We all know it. You know, it's just like you just have to shift your proximity as far as what you're taking in. And I think the key word of all this little monologue is boundaries. So
that's very important. Very important. You have some comments to add to that, Jay?
I wouldn't say I have comments, but I have a question.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You said the key word is boundaries. How would you? Well, I know you can't speak for everybody, but how would you suggest establishing those boundaries in a relationship? Because, you know, we all have, you know, you get into a relationship and you start mingling your lives, you know, you start like you're always around each other, that type of thing. Yeah, and so how do you establish those boundaries? Because one, that's the stress conversation or the argument conversation isn't typically one that we're having at the beginning of a relationship. So yes, you may establish boundaries at the beginning of a relationship, but those boundaries don't usually come up until stuff's gone down. So how do you, in a healthy way, or at least how do you think you should establish those boundaries?
Having a life outside of your husband or your girlfriend or your spouse, I think sometimes, and I say we collectively, unfairly, designate this person as the end-all be-all. And that's not fair. No one person can be your everything. And so, yes, you have your relationships and your time together or whatever, but outside of time with your husband or wife or whomever, you still need to have other things outside of that, whether if it's your guy circle or your girlfriend circle or your church family or therapy, journaling, fitness club. You need to have other channels or outlet. It's like a television. You cannot expect to get everything you need out of ABC or NBC or BET. You know, that's why we have all these different channels, right? At one point in time, it was like that. But now we have literally thousands of channels. And so even in a relationship, you still need to have healthy channels and outlets. So part of that spiritual you gets fed, whether it's through your pastor or whomever. You know, if you have your girlfriend circle where you can have that outlet and do that, you have your family. You know, you have, like me, I'm in a sorority. You have your sorors or your fraternity brothers. So outside of just your partner or spouse, you have to have other outlets. And that's just fair to the other person because he or she had friends and family before you. And if y'all don't make it, those people are still going to be there. And so, and then you have to fairly allow that person to be that person in their outlet. Maybe your thing is painting, and maybe I'm not a painter, but I know that's his thing. So if he wants to go on Saturday at 2 o'clock and go paint, let him go paint. And if you let him go paint and he comes back, you can tell the difference because whatever that was in him, he got it out on the canvas. Maybe his thing is going to the gym and hooping with his boys for a couple hours on Tuesday or Saturday. Let the man go. And when he's there, hey, what you doing? Like, don't text him while he's hooping. Let him text. Let him whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just like allowing your person to be the person that they are. Let them be an individual. We're still collectively a couple, but you're still an individual.
Yeah.
And you should still be entitled to your individuality. That's fair.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. I feel like sometimes, and it goes back to the trauma, whether within the relationship or before the relationship, when we try to establish that individuality, it's a trigger for some people to where, hey, if you're not spending all your time with me, right, what are you doing? Why aren't you spending your time with me? And I'm glad you brought that up because this is kind of something we've been wanting to kind of speak on. We spoke on a long time ago that when you feel like your person is your person 24/7, you start to lose your individuality. You start to lose who you are. And I'm glad that we have spoken on being able to, it's okay to have your own space. And that kind of goes into boundaries. You know, give me a little space to develop my purpose, my individuality. But sometimes, you know, that trauma kicks in And whether that may be a lack of trust, insecurity, it's just sometimes it's a trigger for some people.
Yeah, so, I would just say get your business together and come back later because I can't handle all that. Because I was like, babe, don't you have some friends? You like to play basketball? Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're fine, but boy, can we get, you know?
And
I think that's only fair, and it is unhealthy because if it's 24/7 not, then that may be a flag into something deeper. Because on the flip, if that relationship ends, the person that was depending on that person,
yeah,
that spiral, most of them saying it's pretty ugly.
Yep.
It's pretty ugly. So yep. Yeah,
because a piece of who you are is still within that relationship, right? And you start to feel it can be many different depressions, different types of just low insecurities, and just you start to become confused. It can be so that's a
yeah, and
it can be volatile, violent. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You see, man, yep. That young lady in Atlanta dated, and she was young. She was 19. He was 23. And I guess they were high school sweethearts. And for whatever reason, he kidnapped her from work and high speed chase and was like, well, if I can't have you, no one can have you. Mm. And the police got to where they stopped. And before he surrendered, he shot her 5 times and then surrendered. Wow. You know, yeah. The young man in Florida. Same thing. He took his own 2-year-old son. He cut her up into many pieces and then took his 2-year-old son and threw him into a lake with alligators. And they found the 2-year-old in the mouth of a gator. So it's like it can't get that bad. And it's just like we have to really understand the importance of vetting our people before we let them in our lives. And we've all have made that mistake and not fully vetted them. But yeah. I think at this point now, we're a little older, a little wiser, and you really have to kind of take some time and observe people and their ebbs and flows, especially like this time of year, we're getting into the holidays, people deal with seasonal depression. Yeah. And so you have to kind of watch those markers because we're so quick. You can be 2-3 months into a relationship and you're just like, oh, that's the one. It's been 90 days. Like most jobs don't even fully hire you after 90 days. You know, yeah, you got a probationary period. And you're already on Pinterest creating your wedding board. Like, girl, slow down. You know, and so you really have to see that person in at least a good year and a half cycle of life because, like I said before, somebody could die. How do you handle that? If you lose your job, how do you handle that? Yep. It's cuffing season is here. Bye week is coming up soon. are you wearing matching pajamas at Christmas? Like, so you have to really, I'm saying that jokingly, but you really have to see a person in different facets. If we go out to eat, how are you treating the server? Are you rude? Do you talk down to people that serve you?
Those are important characteristics,
Characteristics. So, yeah, I think really looking at the person, seeing what their outlets are and having conversations, you know, hey, what are your interests? What do you like to do in your free time? Yeah. I love books, you know, so it's just like, do you read or do you just read Twitter? I'll call it X now, whatever. But so you really have to see where people invest themselves, you know, spiritually, emotionally, and get into that before you just say, okay, you know, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that kind of goes into our final topic here, emotional availability, right? Kind of speak on that a little bit. Do you feel like people are cutting themselves off emotionally because of trauma, because of just a lack of priority as far as the shift of certain person's emotions are a little bit priority over another person, or there's always been the stigma on where men shouldn't cry, men shouldn't feel emotional, men shouldn't feel any type of feeling or vulnerability. So kind of speak on that from a woman's perspective. How do you feel about that? Oh, go ahead, Jay.
Before you do that, I would also like your thoughts on the idea, and I'm pretty sure a bunch of people are going to be mad at me for bringing this up, but the idea that that emotional, like removing emotions from sex, basically. So this is from a man's perspective and a woman's perspective, like the idea that, oh, I can just sleep with a bunch of people and I don't have any emotion wrapped up in it. I don't feel anything for, you know, this is just fun for me or whatever the case may be.
Okay. Sex is physical, is also a spiritual experience. And every time you do that, you're creating a soul tie. And for anybody to say that they could do that and you don't ever feel anything, I think you're a psychopath. Because there's something in you that's just totally checked out. And for someone to say that, men or for women, if you're hearing that in this person, your proximity, I would probably run, not walk to the nearest exit. Because, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Phil, in terms of your question, as far as emotional availability, I think it's a little bit of all of those things that you mentioned.
Okay.
I think it is depending on those people in that situation at that time in their lives.
Okay.
Let's say someone very close in your family passes away. There may be a couple months where you're not totally present for your wife because while you're going through a grief, you know? And so if she knows you, she understands that that's natural and human and you should, but you knowing that she's there for you and when you do show up, she's there.
Yep.
And when people do experience, if there is a prolonged time of someone not being available emotionally, that may be something deeper than maybe like a job loss or someone passing away. And maybe at that time, like we said before, have that check-in night and say, hey, I noticed you kind of not here, you know, the last couple months, what's going on? And if they're still not in a space where they're not communicating those things to you, then maybe look at couples therapy or something else. And in some cases, that person could be emotionally absent because now they're investing that emotion somewhere else. Another conversation. But it's still, you know, but again, it goes to you observing your person, knowing how they move every day, and being able to feel or discern, you know, their heart and knowing when something is off. I don't think there's one specific answer. I think it just depends on who you're with and what's going on in the lives at that time. Because you may have periods where you're married and together and there may be a gap. And maybe it's because has nothing to do with your partner. Maybe you're like, oh my God, I'm 30 and I'm questioning where is my life right now? And you're kind of having this internal dialogue that you haven't shared with your spouse or your husband or whomever you're with, but in your mind, you're watching the game, but you're like, man, will I ever be a rapper? Well, you know, you know.
I have those thoughts.
You know, when Keisha broke up with me in ninth grade, was she really talking to Brian? Like, you know what's going on in your mind?
Yeah.
You know? But I'm just saying that again, I can sometimes be a little comedian. It's not funny. I laugh at my own jokes, whatever. But
I laugh.
But it's just like, you don't know what's going on in that person's mind and why they're checked out. Or maybe there's something happening at work where there's things happening with the department. Or maybe, you know, you're thinking about, man, I hope Derek doesn't come to work because I'm going to punch him in the nose. You know, you don't know. So even though I'm with you, you still have things going on, you know? And so I think we can be so quick because that person's not always checked in. We immediately take that on as, oh, well, it's something wrong with me. Or maybe it's somebody. Now you're triggered. Why are you triggered? Unless I come to you and say, hey, babe, this isn't working for me anymore. You know, like, we can put the cart before the horse, so to say. And it's like, before we just go away, and then now you're up at night in the bed on TikTok scrolling, what if your girl is not talking to you? And you watching all this junk when it might not even be that.
Yep.
And it's so it's like, let's slow this train down before we do this relational cancel culture on each other. And let's just have a what grade are we in? Let's talk.
And that's the issue. I think if that the observance you spoke about a little earlier of our partner, the different actions or reactions to certain things, you know, I think like sometimes if we're not communicated on what's going on, a lot of us as people, we start to assume and try to fix and try to find a solution and try to internalize, okay, what's the problem here? And 9 times out of 10, we have the wrong answers. So
I'm grown over here. Over here, we communicate and apologize. I saw that on me. But it's just like, you know, I have a master of communication, but naturally, you know, if I notice, he didn't drink his coffee this morning. And it's not like, well, I just forgot. No. And I'm noticing little things I normally don't do. I'll let it go on for a week or two. Then I'm going to say, hey, bro, what's going on? So it's just, and it could be he went to the doctor. The doctor told him, hey, you're drinking too much coffee. You know, it could be that small. Like, I bet Keisha's giving him coffee at work. Like, why are we bringing Keisha into the, so it's just like, something so minute, but it could have been resolved through a simple conversation.
Exactly. So we're going to go right into our wrap it up session. What that is we give our guests 3 to 5 minutes to give our audience some gems. So, Ms. Camille, you've got the floor, man.
Oh, gosh. First of all, thank you for having me on here. I was very nervous being on this side of the microphone. It's
you killed
y'all.
It, sir.
Yeah.
It's different. I'm so used to facilitating the conversation, but when you're in the hot seat, thank God for graciousness. You guys are great. Yeah. So thank you.
Really appreciate it. No worries.
Yeah, because you could have been like, oh, yeah, we're going to talk about this. And you hear like, gotcha, you know, but it wasn't the case. So thank you for that.
We're not trying to set nobody up. We just want to have conversations. That's it.
I appreciate that. Gems, takeaways. First thing I want to say is get to know the person of interest. We want to put the stigma on the friend zone when actually, if the man is smart, that's the most powerful place a man could be, is being her friend, because in that space comes trust, and you really get to see another side of her that a lot of people don't get to see. It's really the cheat code. Friendship is the cheat code, but if she's for real not interested in you, you'll know. But don't always take the friend zone as a bad thing, because people that we put in the friend zone are usually the people we trust the most.
Yeah.
Gave up some game. But number two, boundaries are important. Know what's a complete sentence. You could have the capacity for so much with whomever. And if you have so much on your plate, and then for me or whomever to take that on, that's not fair. Have outlets. Another point, your partner, your husband, your spouse cannot be your everything. You need to have some friends. Get a life. Communicate. I think we said that. Drink your water. Mind your business. What else? Therapy. Do it. You can be safe. Have God and a therapist. There's nothing wrong with that. Another conversation for another day. Do the work independently and together, because if there is a goal in mind, you know, we hear about hashtag relationship goals. Well, in that, you know, I grew up in Tennessee. Friday Night Lights football was a thing. I have a lot of my cousins are boys. All of them play football sports. One was the NFL. He just retired last year. Done all sorts of things. But, you know, when you're in the locker room, you have the huddle. And if you see this play isn't working, then we can get on this chart and change the routes. See, I do know a little football. But it's just like, no scoop. See? Shout out to Skip.
That was Steven.
I'm a Shannon guy.
Me too. That's why I said no scoop. You know, he moved his glasses around. No scoop. No.
Ooh. Yep.
But seriously, it's just like, what's the plan here? What is our goal as far as our quality of life? Not just financially, but our quality of life together, spiritually, emotionally. What is that looking like? And in order to get there, what do we need to do to make that happen? Maybe we need to do couples therapy for 6 months, or, you know, talk to the pastor. You know, whatever your plan is, do it. Have date night, have check-in night. And more importantly, be friends. What they say, play nice and keep your hands to yourself when it counts. So that's all I have to say.
So also let the people know how they can find you, what you have going on moving forward. You know, give the audience to know how they can find you and everything.
Okay. Well, I am Camille.Essick on Instagram. I'm on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. Good Black Men Officials out there. We're on Facebook. We're online at gbmofficial.com, chemistryroomfragrances.com, and on Instagram. I have ebooks available, room fragrances available, podcasts. The speaker podcast, we're streaming on iHeartRadio, Spotify, AfroPods, Pandora, Audible. Wherever you listen to a podcast, I'm there. Yeah. Please go to my YouTube channel and subscribe. I am being more diligent about building up my channel more. Lots of great interviews there. Check that out. And yeah, I think I've covered about everything. Oh, I do have a storefront on Amazon. So all the ladies, all the good girly things, you can go to my Amazon storefront and shop with me there. And I also have a digital store on Etsy. So I created Black Holiday digital e-cards. So you can go and grab those there as well. So I have things in places.
Very good to hear.
Yeah.
Man, really, really, really appreciate it, Camille, for taking the time with us, man. Make sure you guys, man, how do you guys feel about, you know, a lot of the things, especially our men? Does this help a lot of our men, our ladies out there? Definitely speak on this performance exhaustion, you know, speaking on stress management, and also speaking on the emotional unavailability. Do you guys agree? Not agree? I definitely agree with a lot of these points. Make sure you also follow her at Camille.Essick on Instagram. Follow her content, great content. Her show was great. We were also on there. Look out for that also. Also, make sure you guys like, share, and subscribe to the Less Rap Podcast. If you guys definitely check out our other content. Let us know what you guys want us to kind of speak on going further, things like that. Also follow our Less Rap Podcast everywhere, Twitter, well, X, Instagram, Facebook. We're also on all streaming platforms, including YouTube. And also follow me on The Real Philosophical 23. And also follow Jay Echo on Instagram also.
Instagram and Facebook.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time with us.
Yes, I got to bring you guys back on my show again.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm Philosophical from the Less Rap Podcast. And we're out, y'all.
Love y'all. Peace.
Peace, y'all.